Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Mainstay Financial Chief Investment Officer Todd Petty. Mainstay Financial is the owner of senior living operator Mainstay Senior Living, a growing provider based in Lakeland, Florida. Today, Mainstay Senior Living operates over 40 communities across 5 states, with plans to expand the company's footprint over the next decade through a steady pace of acquisitions. In 2026, Mainstay is sharpening its middle market operating model as it positions for continued growth across the Southeast. The company is focused on engineering middle market senior living from the ground up, designing more efficient buildings, simplifying amenities, and clustering communities to share resources while deepening partnerships with third-party healthcare providers to support aging in place.
For us, the middle market really isn't a branding category, it's a math problem. And we structured the platform, the capital, the operations, and our geography to solve that.
Now, here's my interview with Mainstay Financial Chief Investment Officer, Todd Petty. Todd, thanks so much for joining us here again on Transform. It's great to have you back.
Austin, it is a pleasure being with you in Senior Housing News again.
And I'm excited to dive into what Mainstay has been up to. I know we had covered in September the organization's path for growth ahead here in 2026, and we're excited to unpack what that means and also get some thoughts from yourself on the very important and growing middle market segment of senior living. So we know there's a lot of opportunity, but also on the other hand, a lot of challenges. So excited to dive in. First question, I know when we had chatted last, you had mentioned that Mainstay wants to grow pretty significantly from, I believe you had mentioned kind of a benchmark of up to 80 communities in the next decade, if possible. I know obviously that'll be through multiple cycles of whether that's acquisition or development. I want to just understand what you expect from maybe an acquisition pace or a development pace for Mainstay. How do you really unpack that growth, and what's on track for the new growth and maybe most recent growth that we can expect?
Yeah, thank you, Austin. I'm back home here at Mainstay again because of the growth trajectory that the founder and our CEO wants to do. And we've talked about 40 to 80 communities over time, but we're not trying to do that quickly. For us, the middle market really isn't a branding category. It's a math problem. And we've structured the platform, the capital, the operations, and our geography to solve that. So over the next 24 months, it's probably in a range of 2 to 4 acquisitions per year, depending on market conditions.
Yeah.
And most of that focus is the Southeast. We are going to expand and build clusters within markets we're already in, whether that's similar cities like Lakeland, larger places like Atlanta, so we can share resources and operate more efficiently. We're not limited to a product type. I mean, it's really opportunity, whether it's independent living, assisted living, memory care, as long as it integrates into our broader platform, which is now 47 communities. So what tells us we're on track is an acquisition volume, is whether these communities integrate well, they stabilize, and they strengthen our overall platform that exists right now.
Right. And I suppose off of that, we know that the acquisition environment has been very plentiful, lots of options for folks. And I can assume that's probably the case for middle market opportunities as well, because with what middle market senior living seems to me, at least from my perspective, it seems like there are a lot of opportunities to take an older building and really refresh it, add some things to it, and then remarket it as a high quality middle market senior living community. Is that something that you guys have thought about in your math as in terms of thinking about taking on some of the new properties that you're evaluating? I know we had mentioned too that there are possibilities for conversions as well. I know this is all pretty abstract, but I think it all plays into where middle market senior living is headed and showing that there are lots of options for it. Where do you see the biggest, just in terms of growth for Mainstay in 2026, what do you expect just in terms of, I know you said the Southeast and you really like Florida, we know there's a high concentration there. In terms of why you think middle market growth is so important right now. I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to get your thoughts on why it's so important to really look all over the place. You've been looking in secondary markets. You've been really open to a lot of new opportunities. And I just want to unpack maybe your thinking behind that, because I think you really have to be nimble in the middle market space.
Yeah, so a lot of that gets back to underwriting. The secondary and the tertiary markets have been overlooked for various reasons, and they happen to arrive at a place where they have dense populations now, they have populations that are aging out, and they have need of the product because of comorbidities and healthcare needs. So very similar strategy with a regional hospital. You look at, can hospitals compete in secondary tertiary markets? No, so they go to MSA markets. But can a regional hospital pop up in a market and attract, rather than a 5 or 10 mile radius, can attract 25 to 30 mile radius, the need in the area and drive it to there? I would say that is resounding yes. If you even look at tertiary markets, that population growth is not growing right now. It's somewhat exploding with healthcare growth. Hospitals, post-acute care, prompt care. Healthcare markets are trying to go there because they see the aging population to grab these folks. These same folks are going to need senior housing. And so we're going to those markets because there's not a lot of people going there. And it provides us opportunity to go there. We've built the infrastructure over the years, both operational from a capital standpoint. So now it's about stabilizing what we've acquired and to continue to build density in these markets. So we're going after these markets, but we're very selective.
Right.
I mean, the focus has to make sure each asset integrates into our operating model and contributes to our stability. But we have to stay very disciplined. We can't achieve a cost structure that supports middle market pricing. If it doesn't support it, we won't pursue it.
Right. Right. And you mentioned that point on stabilization, I think, is key. Everyone gets kind of caught up in all the new opportunities that are out there, maybe on the acquisition side. But at the end of the day, after those papers are signed and you take over that building, stabilization is the most important thing. But then also being able to provide folks with a great lifestyle and great opportunity for them to retire in. And we know it's more difficult to do than just taking on an acquisition. So maybe from your perspective for 2026, do you want to highlight some of the operational priorities that you see ahead for Mainstay and the team? What areas you're really focusing on? I assume obviously with stabilization, that means multiple different things, right? In operations, working together to make that happen.
Yeah, so I think our biggest focus is really margin through execution, not pricing, because pricing has been addressed and it's been addressed year after year. So I would say we're really looking at margin. So we're not in an environment where you really can push rates to solve your problems. So for us, it's about operational discipline. It's how do you reduce move outs? How do you improve length of stay? How do you build efficient staffing models within our clusters? And a big part of that is integrating care services, whether that's rehab, home health, or other partners we work with, physicians, so residents can access what they need without leaving the community.
Right.
Because at the end of the business day, move-outs are the most expensive event in the building. So if we can keep the residents stable and supported, you can improve both the experience and the economics. And that's where we're really focused right now.
Yeah. And you had mentioned too that important note on pricing. And I hear your point on rate fatigue. I think a lot of folks have felt that and some markets have as well. Obviously, if you're going into markets where there's less competition, you have a little bit more flexibility there. That's just the nature of it. But in terms of when you've been thinking about monthly rates, what operational or design choices make the price point that Mainstay is looking to achieve in that kind of mid 3,500 price range for that middle market monthly rate? How do you really make sure you can achieve those rates without compromising that resident experience or quality of care? And what I've heard so far, it seems like a lot of emphasis on partnerships, being able to have those physician groups that come in that work with folks. Would love to hear your thoughts on maybe just like you had said at the beginning, making that math work. what are some of the things on the rate side that you do to really make sure that those are achievable and repeatable throughout the different properties that Mainstay operates?
Yeah, well, there's been a real move, as you know, Austin, in the last decade, maybe 15 years, to move senior housing into a luxury experience because of the pension generation and what the model that existed and where it needed to go. And we achieved all that. But now, you know, we don't build for luxury. We try to discount it. We engineer affordability from the start. So this shows up in a few ways. We design more efficient unit layouts. We're very intentional about common area spaces, fewer, more flexible spaces rather than multiple underutilized units.
Sure.
That's a big problem right now.
Yep.
So we also keep the amenities simple and purposeful. If I had to compare it to something, it would be like, hey, you get a tour of the Ritz-Carlton, $1,500 a night, you'll love it. But here's a beautiful bed and breakfast, $800 a night. It's smaller, quaint, wraps its arm around you, but you still have a great experience. I want to be the more affordable bed and breakfast. So
yeah.
Our residents are looking for safety, quality care, and a sense of strong community. So the experience ends up feeling like a well-run, hospitality-driven environment.
Yeah.
It's comfortable, consistent, and supportive without the cost structure of a high-end build. That's the key. So we're able to hit that price point without compromising what actually matters to the resident. The resident knows they need care.
Yep.
They know that this Class A is beyond their reach. So where do they go? So we want to be the option that's affordable, but still returns the margins to our investors that we need to make all this stuff work.
Yeah, and I think you've also, too, with the nature of the Southeast, you've got a lot of great markets at your disposal, even if they aren't the typical MSAs that you think of. You got great weather. You got things that are a bit of an advantage, if you will, from, say, us folks here in the Chicago area still uncovering from we had a few inches of snow, and hopefully we'll be playing golf here in a few weeks, but we'll see. In terms of when you're thinking about that market strategy, we know that Mainstay has been focused, like you said, on those secondary markets with strong penetration rates and less competition. What characteristics really make those secondary markets attractive to you today? And I'd love to get your thoughts on that, because it seems like this also plays into that math to make the middle market work. You've got to really pick your markets in a really targeted manner. So just from your perspective in that calculus, how do you think about secondary markets from a 30,000 foot view?
Yeah, so we found secondary markets to be very attractive, probably not for the reasons most people think. What matters most is the real demand density within the drive radius of these markets. You can have a smaller city, but still have a concentrated 65 plus population that actually needs services. At the same time, you actually do have less new supply coming in. So that creates a more stabilizing operating environment. And operationally, we see more consistency both in staffing and resident behavior compared to the large metro markets. The staff likes smaller venues, family businesses, longevity, stabilization, consistency, versus an MSA. If things aren't working out, they can go down the road. So where operators sometimes misread is assuming less competition makes it easier. It doesn't. You have to execute. And I would never pretend like any of this is easy. It is difficult. It is not for weak-hearted. And if your cost structure is off, these markets will expose it quickly and they still will not work. But for those reasons, we like secondary markets primarily.
And we know also, too, that when we had chatted last fall, that you'd mentioned that from Mainstay's perspective, you really emphasize that long-term ownership and management over kind of those short-term turnarounds, those kind of get in, stabilize, and sell. We know that there's kind of two different camps of thought on that. Of one, if you stay there a while, you can have a better relationship with folks that are there, but also really build that reputation. So how does that philosophy shape the kinds of deals that you're willing to pursue, especially in a volatile capital environment? Because I know there are a lot of opportunities still out there, but I've been hearing from folks that, maybe development will start to come back by the end of the year. And I hope they're right. I really hope the optimists are right on that one, and we'll see. But just overall, when you're thinking about why it's important to have those longer time horizons for Mainstay at the communities, even if you don't don't have ownership, but you still stay on as manager. Why is that so important, and how does that play into your philosophy of the middle market as well?
Yeah, a lot of that is, I like to say that Mainstay functions as a nonprofit, very mission-based, long-term strategy, but it functions in a for-profit world. Again, we're very polarized in senior housing, whether you're either nonprofit, mission-based, or you're very for-profit and capitalistic-based. We try to blend those together. Every deal we approach is long-term ownership mindset. I think that changes everything. The underwriting, it changes the strategy, it changes investor attitude. It attracts a certain type of investor. We're not underwriting to a five-year exit. We're underwriting to whether the asset can perform consistently right over time. We're more focused on stability, operational fit, whether it strengthens our existing markets and provides a synergy, and rather than chasing short-term upside. That is so important because the models have been built for short-term upside. It also influences how we think about capital. We're aligned around steady performance and capital preservation, not maximizing short-term returns. And because we operate what we own, we have flexibility in how we manage the business. That autonomy is very important.
Yeah.
So we can prioritize the health of the asset over extracting fees. You know, we're not building the model over what fees we can extract because we have to survive. We can prioritize the health of the asset, even if we have to defer our fees or accrue our fees, so we can put our interest back into the success of the asset, the residents, and the investors. So in a more volatile environment, this alignment becomes a real advantage for us, we believe.
Yeah. And I think another point off of that, your point on healthcare being so important as part of this value proposition of middle market senior housing. You said operators have to be able to provide care services. How do you define Mainstay's role in that care delivery, and how far do you want to integrate those health services into the operating model? I think it's important that it's there, but I'd love to hear kind of how you've thought about it.
Yeah, no, I think we introduced that shortly a while ago.
Yeah.
So we, our role in creating care-enabled housing environments is not becoming the healthcare provider ourselves. Our focus is making sure the residents have access to the services they need, whether it's rehab, home health, hospice, or physician support, and that those services are coordinated in a consistent way within the community. In a lot of ways, it's similar how care is coordinated post-hospitalization. You have multiple providers involved, but the experience needs to feel seamless for the resident. So that's really what's going to allow aging in place to work. In independent living, which is the new sanctuary for the older adult that doesn't want to go into assisted living, that needs a lower rent. When the residents can receive services where they live, they stay longer, transitions are smoother, and outcomes improve. So our role is to deliver the environment, the consistency. That's what I emphasize, and then integrate the right care partners around it. And those care partners provide the clinical oversight to help the resident age longer, stay in place, and pay rent longer.
Yeah, and I think one of the elements here is also technology. You'd mentioned kind of an in-unit pharmacy pilot that I think was really exciting. I don't know if you can share any more details there. That's totally fine if you can't. But why is it so important to also be embracing technology to improve operations, streamline them, but also create a better resident experience as well, on top of that, being able to have that healthcare layer through a model that still emphasizes that independence and that choice element through the hospitality model?
Yeah, so we're trying to stay very disciplined on technology. We're looking at a lot of different things, like so many people are.
Yeah.
The goal to me is not, as it was in the past, to add more systems that can do other things. It's to reduce friction in the operation and improve visibility of the resident of what's happening to them. And what's happened, what's changed recently in all these products, particularly the newer products, instead of just looking at historical or real-time data, which is great, but they're starting to see tools that identify changes earlier to support better decision. So if we can be proactive and predict the resident's decline, we can get help with these third-party healthcare continuum to get ahead of the decline and help them age longer, rather than they decline, have an episode, and they go to the hospital.
Right.
So we're trying to simplify the environment. So rather than layering in multiple point solutions, We focus on having a strong infrastructure. So we do have, we are beta testing pharmacy to deliver inside the residence unit via the internet medication. We're doing telehealth that's getting the doctor in front of the residents twice a month. And we do have devices that predict a lot of different things that will allow us, the doctor, to determine decline and to move more quickly while we continue to provide hospitality, security, and services. So we're selective. If it doesn't improve outcomes or reduce operational burden, we're not going to implement it. Those days are over. It's too much.
Now, Todd, I want to make sure we discuss from a high level your perspective on the middle market, because I think we've read a lot about it. We've written a lot about it. But there's not as much momentum as I think there should be, given the demand. You know that middle market senior living doesn't necessarily carry the best profit margin as a Class A luxury property. How do you balance those investor expectations with the lower margin reality of serving a more affordability conscious resident base? I want to get your thoughts just overall, because this is important, because I think even as we're talking about the middle market, we're not seeing as many options kind of come to bear. But I think there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes from folks who are aware of these affordability issues, Mainstay included. So I want to get your thoughts just on kind of that balance of how you find margin in a kind of margin restricted space.
Yeah, I think in the past, senior housing has attracted certain investors that have a very aggressive growth fund they're looking at because they want to make a lot of money, the potential for upside. They're willing to put money at risk for a greater outcome. And the reality is you can't use that financial model in the middle market.
Yeah.
But I don't think I say it's less about lowering expectations from the investors and more about aligning expectations with the right investors. So the middle market senior housing is not designed to produce outsized margins. It is designed to produce stable, consistent performance. And that's how we position it with our investors. Our investors are more income minded, and they're looking for steady income, reliable income, more than they are in ownership and in growth. And so we can focus on income, durability, capital preservation, rather than short-term growth story.
Right.
So this tends to resonate, especially in today's environment where new development is slowed. There's more appreciation for basis discipline and existing assets that can perform. So because we're focused on secondary and tertiary markets where supply is more limited, there's a level of scarcity. And I'm posting about that all the time. So the alignment really comes down to this. We're not chasing the highest return. We're building a model that can perform consistently over time. And that's the type of investor we're trying to attract to our base.
Where are the biggest challenges in the middle market right now? Have they changed at all? What do you see ahead for the middle market space?
So I think the middle market takes a lot of work because you're trying to target a basis or a rent that's closer to $35 to $39.95 without compromising the experience. We don't build luxury. We try to discount it. We're trying to engineer affordability. And engineering affordability is going to take multiple components. It's going to take a vertically integrated platform that can perform a rehab with a building, be the general contractor, be the interior design, be the architect draftsman, be the drywall company, you name it. And I'm fortunate to be with a company that we really have all these components. So you have to be vertically integrated. You have to have investors that like income funds that are wanting stability and are mission minded. You also have to look at every opportunity. You can't go in this with a model of we're going to acquire and reposition X amount of assets. We're going to go to MSAs. You have to look at each opportunity and find out how you can turn it around for a positive outcome. We've talked about repositioning hotels. We've done that. We're even looking now at, can I buy a campus where I can put independent and assisted living? And can I put workforce housing involved in it as well for a healthcare continuum that will help the asset prop up the service of seniors as well. So you have to be and you have to be nimble.
Yeah.
Private equity will not allow you to do that all the time, but having high net worth individuals that are on your team allows you to be a little bit more nimble, Austin.
Sure. Yeah. And in terms of opportunities you see ahead, I think it's clear the demographics data that we report on, that we constantly follow, it seems like there's a huge opportunity, especially in the years to come, for serving the middle market. When we know there are more folks thinking about this space right now, what do you think some of the things Mainstay really understands about the segment that maybe others haven't figured out? Or if there's any thoughts on just generally where the middle market is today and how quickly it needs to catch up? I just want to get your thoughts, because I think this goes back to what you mentioned at the beginning of it's a math problem, right? Making sure it works.
Yeah.
But what's I don't know if you want to offer advice or thoughts just on where the middle market is right now and how Mainstay moves in that space, because it seems like you're able to be nimble and still have a decently large portfolio at the same time.
Yeah, well, I know you're exactly right. Most people approach the middle market as a pricing problem. And I've even been on panels where they've told me they've had their math and it says it doesn't work, Todd. But it's not a pricing problem. It's a structural math problem. If your cost bases, your operating model, and your capital expectations aren't aligned, you can't solve it by lowering rent. We found that it really comes down to stability. It's designing the model so residents can stay longer using the third-party healthcare continuum. You must partner with them just like a social worker would do in a hospital. Operations have to be consistent, and the economics have to hold over time. This requires discipline across the entire platform, not just one part of it. We're still refining it. Sometimes Medicaid diversion can help in states where they're providing a stipend to the resident that can add it to rent, where it gets you right up to market level rent.
Yep.
Sometimes that's diversification of the model. Sometimes that's adding lots of units. Sometimes that's reducing common area space and adding units because the middle market expectation is lower. That's not a bad thing. That's just a survival thing.
Yeah.
But all these things have to be brought together for each opportunity to broaden the middle market in a way that's sustainable and scalable. So it has to be looked at very holistically. It's not for the weak-hearted. But I believe for people inside or outside of our of senior housing, it could be the greatest opportunity, like I say, Austin, of a lifetime.
Right. Yeah.
30 million people can't afford the existing product, and they have no safety net that need what we're talking about today.
Right. Yeah. And I often hear that this is so multifaceted that some folks think it's too big and can't be solved. But my counterpoint to that is, I think every model will find what works because there's demand for it, and the greatest demand is what's coming in terms of that cohort of people in this country that need senior housing or need some sort of safety net, like you mentioned. And it'll be interesting to see how that really evolves, especially once we start to see, I think, more development happen. It'll be interesting to see what really could take place in terms of new communities that come out, what those look like. And it'll be interesting to see as we follow that along. Todd, last question here, and just no wrong answers, but want to get your outlook for where you see the year headed for Mainstay, but also for the industry as a whole. It seems like there's a lot of opportunity ahead this year.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. There's people that are exiting the senior housing space because they're just, you know, I guess the best word is they're maybe deal fatigued is the word I'm looking for. A lot of REITs deciding it's time to move on, and they're having to dispose of assets with great opportunities. Larger senior housing companies want to concentrate on maybe an affluent brand that are disposing of their assets. And so these assets are there's deals to be had on the assets. You know, we always say if you can get it for $30,000 to $60,000 a door, it is golden in some ways. I mean, it's taking $250,000 to $300,000 to build Class A right now. But the key is it doesn't do you any good to get it for $10,000 a door if you can't bring people in and fill the building up.
Right.
But therein lies the opportunity. There's a psychographic area. There's a demographic area where you can buy, get a deal, buy the asset, reposition it, and attract at a lower rent with more conservative services and take care of these residents that have needs. So I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for acquisitions. I think from now till 2030, value add is the name of the game, unless, except for the few folks out there that are in ultra affluent,
yep.
and they're going to do very well because there are some people that can write the check all day for that.
Right.
But I just think that the people that are struggling, that they don't have a long-term heart for this, are going to, you know, go do something else. People will come to the forefront that are mission-minded and love this industry and are going to come up with a solution for the middle market. I'm going to do everything I can to get information out there to show what the opportunity is, because it's no threat. We're out of housing in 2030, and we need everybody in to come up with a solution for the most vulnerable population, which would be the over 85 demented senior that needs what we have.
I think that's a great point to end it on. Todd, excited to watch what happens for Mainstay, but also generally the middle market space. I've personally written a lot on affordability this year already, and excited to do so again. I won't get off that soapbox until we figured it out. So Todd, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
Thank you, Austin. My pleasure.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.